Okay, this chapter, really, chapter 7, is called a parenthetical chapter, kind of. That means that there is, it's not necessarily a moving history like the other chapters are, but it fills in gaps of other chapters. There's some that say that you could place this in chapter 6 or in chapter 13, you know, but it fills in a lot of different blanks. And she trying to out-talk me. Chapter 10 is also a parenthetical chapter. 15 is also a parenthetical chapter, or you could call them pretenses, I guess, if you'd like. But you might want to ask if the church is raptured out, and it is, which also means that the Holy Spirit is gone. Then who's doing the witnessing on this earth? And of course, we'll see that's what it's about. You can look at chapter 6 and look at verse 12. It talked there about, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black, and sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. So the seals were opened, the sixth seal, but the seventh seal. Now think about this. The sixth seal was opened there, but the seventh seal doesn't get opened till chapter 8. And that's why you kind of, chapter 7 just kind of fills in a bunch of blanks. And it's what Paul Harvey'd say the rest of the story. I guess, I don't know. But that's what it does. The seventh seal's not open till chapter 8. And so in verse 1, it says, and after these things, and of course, we know what happened up in chapter 6. He says, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. So notice here, it says the four corners of the earth. It doesn't mean the earth is flat. Do you have any idea that there's literally intelligent people that believe the earth is still flat? I said intelligent people. They're supposed to be. It doesn't mean that, but it means that there is a north, south, east, and west. We know that. And this is where they get the word. Now think about that. We have northeast, south, and west. If you think about years ago, I can't remember which network it was on. From the four corners of the earth, northeast, southwest, we get what we call news. Northeast, west, south. Did you know that? Remember, years ago they would flash the world up, and it would the news, and that's northeast, and it had that on there years ago. That's before you came along, I'm sure, but that's where we get our word news. From you get the new things that are happening from all four corners of the earth. And so in verse 1 there, it talks about it over in Isaiah 11:12, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The Bible's already declared the earth to be round. Isaiah 40 verse 22 says, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. So it talks about that. I don't know, they just must not really read their Bible, that's all I can say. So there you've got it. And verse 1 again, now notice the angels are in charge of the wind, because they're holding the four different winds that come from the four corners of the earth. It seems that the angels have a tremendous amount of power, and we know they do. Look at chapter 14. We know that one angel killed, 150,000 or 185,000 one night, and probably didn't break a sweat. But chapter 14, look at verse 18. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire. And now that's kind of a strange thing in itself. That means that in the tribulation, especially, there'll be forest fires, and they won't be able to put them out because God won't let them go out. So there's an angel. Now I don't believe that's the case now, specifically that there's an angel over fire, because if that's the case, you could do what you wanted to and you'd never get them out. But and maybe there is still, but in the tribulation there will be an angel over fire. And look at chapter 16 and verse 8. It says, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And so there it is again. Look back up at 5. And I heard the angel of the waters, so he's got power over waters, say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be. So during tribulation, there's these angels that will have specific powers over specific things. And it totally controls the environment and of everything that's going on. And God controls during the tribulation, and he controls nature anyway. And it's not Mother Nature, okay? Amen. It's Father Nature. But he controls it. And we know that he does today also, okay? So, notice what's going on here. In verse 1, it talks about, And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners, or the hole in the four winds of the earth. How many of you ever been back east and been in a tornado? Yeah. Do you ever notice before a tornado, it will get deathly calm? I mean, the crickets stop chirping, the bird, everything is absolute in nature, is absolute silent. It's spooky, it gets so silent. When it gets that away, you know there's a big one. Oh, I'm sure. Yep. It gets really spooky. So, what do you think is going to happen when it doesn't blow for a week or so? I mean, nothing. And they'll probably say, "Well, something's getting ready to happen." It's what they call the calm before the storm, and it is. So in verse 2, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Now think about it. He's commanded to hurt the earth. And this is what the angel's saying in verse 3, hurt not the earth. Now wait a minute. To whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. But he's saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have till. So he's saying, don't do it until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And so the environmentalists are going to be happy just for a little while. Till the seal's opened, and then it's going to let her rip, okay? So anyway, so verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000. Now you need to see that things that are happening are not, they don't, in this chapter, they one reason why they call it kind of a parenthetical chapter, they don't happen in sequence, like, okay? They don't happen in a chronological order. Look at chapter 6, back up at verse 6. And a verse in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now here it's not to hurt the servants that are sealed. So probably chapter 7 could actually, like I say, fit in right in with chapter 6. And so, but again, in verse 3 there, they're sealed. Look over Deuteronomy, way over Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let me get there. Deuteronomy 32, and look at verse 5. They have corrupted themselves. Let's see, that's where I wanted to go. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and a crooked generation. Anyway, that's 33. That's not quite the verse I had. Now that wasn't the verse I really wanted. It's talking about that they were sealed. I missed it. And you can go back to Revelation. And but again, everybody knows about the mark of the beast, which is the mark of the Antichrist. But all he's doing is really copying God, because God puts his mark first, and it talked about it through Deuteronomy. I'll have to go back and find that verse. But
is that verse 5 the spot is the mark of the beast?
Sure, that would be it. Yeah, the spot. Yeah. That works. So that's the mark on them. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't register. And so, that's then you go back to Revelation in chapter 7. We see that Satan imitates that thing, with God. And then also in chapter 13 and verse 5, it talks about it. Now, it's something kind of like this happened once before. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. God's done this before. There were men that had a humble and contrite heart that was broken about the sins of Israel, and God said, find them and set a mark on them. And look at verse in that Ezekiel chapter 9, look at verse 5. To the others, he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And began at my sanctuary, then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. So there you see that. So God says to kill the ones that don't have the mark on them. And we will see that all these 144,000 male Jews will be excluded from all the plagues that are going on during that time that's going to be put on earth, and will be protected from them. And so that's going to be a miracle in by itself. And so what about this, that God sealed these men? How could we kind of apply that to us today? Well, look at 2 Corinthians. We can, 2 Corinthians chapter, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 21. Now he which established us with you in Christ and had anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us And so, see, for God to seal somebody is no strange thing. It's happened all through the Bible, and it's in the Old Testament, and it's going to happen in the now, and it's happened. So who has sealed, who also has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit? So there's that sealing. So if you've been saved today, you are sealed. And what are you sealed with? Well, Ephesians chapter 1, you're sealed with the Spirit of Christ. But it's a totally different of type of sealing than is over in Revelation. Even Ephesians 4:30 says, you know what that says. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. And so, but this seal means that something is genuine. Okay, it also marks ownership, which we know because of Ephesians 1:13-14, right? That he's going to come back and get it. So it's a seal of being genuine. It's a mark of ownership, and it protects from tampering with anything, and which a lot of the charismatics don't get, because you can't tamper with the Spirit of Christ. And so now you can grieve him, but and quench him and hinder him, but you're not going to actually you can't tamper with it, okay? It's there. Now, after saying all about us being sealed, and I know no one that is sealed with the Holy Spirit in tribulation, then what does the sealing protect this 144,000 from? Well, go back to Revelation. Look at chapter 9. We're sealed and protected from sin that affects our, but what are they, this 144,000? Look at chapter 9 of Revelation and look at verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So they're protected from all the judgment that's coming. That's going to be on all the other men. These are protected mainly from the stings of these scorpions that come out of the bottomless pit and are stabbing men, and they'll be protected from that. So go back to Revelation chapter 7. And so in verse 4, he says, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribes of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. And so, you know, now Levi was not recognized among the tribes when God had given the land grant back in the Old Testament, because their inheritance was God. But it is given in, I think it's a, is it given, Levi put back in Ezekiel for the land grant there? I can't remember. Anyway, they are here part of this 144,000. And so, they are. Now, then verse 8, when you look at that, of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Joseph. Now there are five specific things that shows up who these 144,000, you know all these, who they are. Revelation 2:2 says, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Number one, they have the name of God sealed in their foreheads. We see that in over in chapter 14. You'll see that. And that's what I'm saying. See, all this chapter 7 is filling in blanks from chapter all these other chapters. Let's flip over there. Hold your place. We'll go to 14 and verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. Now, that Mount Zion is in heaven. Jerusalem, the Mount Ephesus, the Temple Mount, that's called Zion. But this Zion is in heaven, okay, that they see. And by this time, the 144,000 have already been raptured up, are taken up to heaven. With him and 144,000, having the Father's name written in her forehead, and heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters. I'm reading out of 14, 1 or 2. And of great thundering, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So we can see what's going on from the earth. So they are in heaven at this time. Okay? So you got to understand that. Now, number two, they know a new song that no one else knows. And of course, the Jehovah Witness will say, well, yeah, but he'll teach it to us. Well, we've already seen they're going to be in heaven in what he's talking about here. And verse 4, they are men. There's no women. Also in verse 4, number 4 says they are virgins. So if the JWs that you're talking to is married, then it can't be one of them. And number 5, they have to be all Jews. Okay? And you ask them what tribe they're from, and Ephraim. And the Mormons will say it. Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. He's not listed in there.
Well, Ephraim is counted as the tribe of Joseph.
Yeah, but Dan is not not in there either.
So that's what
takes
place of Dan.
Yeah.
Don't the Calvinists also believe that they're part of the
144,000 too? No. Not Calvinists. They got enough problems as it is. But no, they don't believe it. So Ephraim and Dan are not in there. What do you think they'd done that made God so mad that he wouldn't put them in the list? Wasn't that the one that went in and killed them people from Jacob's daughter? Was that Dan and Ephraim, or who was that?
That was Simeon and Levi.
Okay. All right. Well, I couldn't remember, but some reason. But now, you know, of course, God calls Ephraim a silly dove. I mean, but Dan, they think Dan may be the Antichrist may be from the tribe of Dan.
I have Judges 17:18.
What is it?
Judges
17:18. I don't know. I haven't read. What chapter?
Chapter
17 and 18. Well, that starts out chapter 7. There was a man from Mount Ephraim. Yeah. That's right. And Dan came in and killed all them people and took that land. Yeah. He hauled off the guy's priest.
Right. Well, that's right.
One of the dumbest, forgive me, Lord, but I get to that chapter and I'm going, I don't like this chapter. I don't like nothing about it. Did you guys, it just...
Yeah. Of course, there wasn't anybody ruling over Israel at that time.
No.
So I think the Lord just gives you a story of the dumbness that was in Israel.
I think you're right, because it starts out with that guy and his mother, and I'm thinking, oh, really? I mean, you know.
Her money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My son's a thief. anyway, but that I think you're right, Bill, because that is such a. Yeah. I'm going to write that down there, because I believe that's probably as good as any.
Yep.
I really do. And yeah. Hold on a minute. We got time. I'm going to write that down. Yeah. Yeah. No, Dan and Ephraim. And Judges. I think that works as good as any. So, yeah, amen. Yeah. So anyway, that's some things about them. And wait a minute. And so anyway, these 144,000, of course, what they. We don't know what we. I think it's because of them chapters, but anyway, God is merciful, because in the millennium He lets them back in. He does, and gives them a portion of the land grant of their inheritance, which you'll find over in Ezekiel. And but this 144,000 men will be preachers with the power of God on them, as much as Paul had on him. I mean, they will be. Anointed. 1 Corinthians 15:8 says, and last of all, Paul made the statement, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time, and anointed. So these men will have the power of God upon them. And now, the big problem, the Jews, we don't think about it much, but why did God have so much trouble with the Jews? The Jews, God created the Jewish nation, the Hebrew nation, to be a witness to the world for Him. And that's what they were really supposed to be doing, a witness through the all through the Old Testament. And we kind of lose sight of that thing. And they didn't do it. And they still don't. Look at Isaiah. But, so who's going to be witness in the tribulation? 144,000 Jews. Look at Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, look at verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation at the end of the earth. See, that's what that's why God developed that nation. And we kind of get away from it. Mark 16 says, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They didn't do it. Okay? That was the Jews, and they weren't doing it. But they will in the tribulation. And so we've got to understand that. Now look at Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60, look at verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Let's see how far I want to look at verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now that has to be in the tribulation, I would think, when he's talking doctrinally, talking about that. So they will. So all truth will come from the nation of Israel during the tribulation. Now, where does all truth come from today? the book. And it's supposed to come from the church. It doesn't, but we'll stick to the book. So, but in that time, the only truth will be coming out of Jerusalem. That's weird. Look at Psalm 67. So why would there only be truth coming out of Jerusalem? Because there'll be no spirit of Christ here. And all there will be is the darkness and deception. Psalms 67, look at verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. So again, that's that doctrine probably talking in the tribulation. Again, they'll be preaching in the tribulation, and you know what they're going to be preaching? They won't be preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. They're going to be preaching repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, what did John the Baptist preach? But look at Romans 15. All through the book of Matthew, that's what they preached. Why? Because millennial reign was at hand if they would have received Christ, but we know that they didn't. But look at Romans 15 and look at verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. See, and so that's what's going to be preached. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Again, he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. And so now, how many of you ever heard of I'm sure most of Herbert W. Armstrong? They also call it he had a radio program, the Radio Church of God, I think it was, Worldwide Church of God. That was it. And it was called British Israel. Anybody ever hear him preach? Boy, he was a preacher. Woo, he could preach. False preaching, but boy, he could preach. I'll tell you what, I heard him preach one of the best messages I ever heard on Christmas. I did. I mean, it was good, man. So, but that is called, and you'll see his stuff in airports. I used to. I don't know if it's still there, but they were always around airports giving it out to, and it was called, they gave out magazines called The Plain Truth. Well, really, it was plain wicked, what it was. Herbert W. Armstrong, and then his son, what was his name? Remember what his son? He's still around, I think. You don't hear much about it. But anyway, their teaching, one of their big main teachings, that the 10 tribes, that there was 10 tribes that were lost, just gone. Huh? Yeah, the 10 northern tribes were all they were lost, and there was no more. I don't think so, but anyway, and they migrated into Europe, and that's what you get now. It's called British Israelism. That's where the whole thing comes from, and it's pretty wicked, really. So they just do away with 10 nations. Go on. You ask, well, do the Jews today know what tribe they're from? No, most of them don't. You probably got a bunch of Orthodox that do, but most don't. But God does. He knows exactly which tribe they're from, and we know that because He'll call them together in James 1:1. It's written to them, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And he says, greetings. So there's 12, they're scattered all over the world, and for the most part, none of them, they don't know what tribe they're from, but God does. Look at, we'll close, look at Acts 26. Look at verse 7. Unto which promises are 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. So again, them 12 tribes that scattered, and God will bring them back during the tribulation. Of course, they will, during the tribulation, they'll start offering up sacrifices, and they'll come back under the law, and so they will be worshiping in the temple until the Antichrist shows up. And so anyway, that's kind of it on chapter 7. Like I say, it's just kind of a parenthetical. It fits all through the chapter 6 and your other trial. It just fills in blanks. And so any questions?